Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for tuning into The Animal Files, the podcast where we expose the truth, science, and spirituality of pet care and provide you with the wisdom and tools you need to raise happy and healthy companion animals. My name is Victoria, an animal spirituality facilitator and integrative energy practitioner.
And my name is Miranda, an animal health technologist and pet care safety expert.
Let's dive in, shall we?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Animal Files podcast. This is the second episode of our fourth season, and apologies for the sound of my voice. I'm a little under the weather, but we can still get through this. We wanted to bring you more of what we started talking about last week, and last week we shared with you the idea of animals being your mirror and reflecting your internal state or energy. Now, we gave you a basic reflection exercise to try with you and your animals. We provided some information about energy in connection to quantum physics. I know that was a little bit like bougie of us, but hey, you know, that's what it is. It's quantum physics. And then we discussed the difference between humans and animals understanding emotions and intentions and how this affects relationships. And lastly, we offered a simple introduction to how to start becoming aware if your pet is providing you with a reflection. So today, we are going to dive a little bit more deeply into the reflective messages your pets may be telling or showing you and helping you understand and interpret them. So I'm just going to throw it over to Miranda since she's got the good voice this week and we'll get things going.
Well, let's start off with having you think of how you see yourself. Then consider how you think other humans might see you. Now consider how your pets might see you. Unlike humans, their view of you does not revolve around thoughts of, oh, she's such a friendly person. Wow, he's so smart. He knows so much. I think he or she is being so manipulative.
That's funny.
They just simply know how they feel when they are around you. Maybe they feel happy and content. Maybe they feel fearful. Maybe they feel anxious or depressed. And they're going to respond or react to those feelings. So here are a few of the different ways that our pets might offer us insight into our internal state. The first one is the emotional mirror, where they might show us signs of joy, excitement, fear, or anxiety. The next one is the physical mirror. Maybe they might become unusually clingy, or they might focus on a specific area of your body, or perhaps they might start becoming lethargic or restless. The next one is the mental mirror. Your pet might start acting bored, perhaps restless, aggressive, maybe more confident, more calm. Now, this is also connected with emotion as well as personality. The next one is the energetic mirror. Your animal might become more affectionate. Perhaps they become more tense and their body just can't seem to relax. Or alternatively, they might become more relaxed or more calm. Then there is the stability mirror. In this one, your pets might display more contentment or anxiety. And finally, we have the stress mirror, where your pets might end up becoming more agitated, destructive, cautious, or maybe seek more attention. So as you can probably tell, these mirrors or reflections can end up overlapping with each other. So this is why it's going to take some inner work on your part to really help you decipher what the message is.
Yeah, we have to, I guess, take personal responsibility for how we move through our lives in a way to help our animals move through theirs. It's an important part of the whole relationship. And it goes beyond just a pet animal relationship. Even with human to human relationships, the more personal responsibility you put on yourself to move through your world in a better way, the better all relationships get.
Mm, definitely. And if this is something that you've never done before, or you have tried it and you just find it really, really difficult to do this work on your own, you can work with animal communicators, animal translators, people like that who can essentially translate your pet's language into words or images that you can understand. There's even courses to learn how to do that on your own if you wanted to.
I don't know, it was us. You can always reach out to us. We can help you.
So before the break, we are going to share with you more about the emotional mirror and then a combination of the mental and the stress mirror. Understanding the emotional mirror a bit more, your animals will often pick up on your emotions and may mirror them or synchronize with them. And this can provide us with valuable insights into our emotional well-being.
It's probably the best way to really get insights.
Mm-hmm. For example, if you are feeling joyful and enthusiastic, your pet might end up becoming more playful and excited. If you are feeling sad or anxious, your pet might end up becoming a lot more subdued, or perhaps may not want to interact much. Pets typically respond to your joy and their happiness by wagging their tails, purring, licking you, bouncing around you, or they just might tell you a certain types of vocalizations. When you become stressed, anxious, or upset, your pets may often offer you comfort by wanting to stay close to you, snuggling. Maybe they want to provide you with a gentle physical contact. Or if they're not so much into the cuddling, snuggling type of energy, they might try to distract you more with a nudge to play with it. You know, so if you're sitting at your desk and you keep having your dog or your cat sort of like bumping you with their nose or like trying to do something to distract you, that might be something to look at and be a, okay, what is my energy right now? What is my mindset right now? You know, am I too caught up in what I'm doing? Am I frustrated or whatever? Maybe this is a sign that I need to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah. My mom's got a couple. No, sorry. It's so funny. Every time my mom goes on the computer, if she's not paying attention to her cat, Georgie has to come up and walk across her back, back and forth across her back to get her off the computer. And Maisie used to do that. She used to walk across when I was on the computer. And I, you know, last season, you know, we talked about how I had to get a keyboard cover just to keep her off the keyboard. They will manipulate. If they think that you are too hyper-focused or that you need a break, they will try to do everything that they think they can do to get you to pay attention to them, because that's their way of saying, stop focusing, pay attention to me. I want to play ball. I want a pet. I want to scratch. They're good gauges like that.
Yeah. But we have to keep in mind that sometimes it is just personality.
Yep.
And that's just the way they typically are. So what we need to really pay attention to is if there is a shift, like, is this not how they typically behave?
Yeah, that's the key.
So what if you start to feel scared or threatened? Well, then your pets might suddenly become a lot more alert. They could growl, they could bark, they could hiss. They could exhibit a variety of different types of defensive behavior, which could then indicate their awareness of your emotional state. Because there's a lot of times, I think, where we can feel scared or threatened, but it's not so in our face that we are fully aware of it. You know, fear is something that can show up in very subtle ways. And when it's chronic, then that's what can end up leading to anxiety and stress and that as well. You know, a lot of people probably end up feeling scared or threatened when it comes to issues around money. it's probably one of the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Or if they feel like their security is being threatened in some way, or stability. But we can get into such a chronic state that we just don't even realize it. Our pets can really detect changes in our stress levels, and they will respond accordingly. So for your example, your dog showing signs of anxiety, such as panting or pacing, or maybe your cat reacting to your tension by hiding or displaying some type of nervous behavior.
I want to add a couple of things just to this emotional mirror is, you know, not every animal is going to respond the same, especially if they're young kittens or young puppies. They still have to learn how you want them to react, or, you know, they have to figure you out first. And the reason why I say this, because, you know, I'm obviously under the weather and Abby doesn't know what to do with it. She has no idea. She's never experienced this. So she's afraid of my coughing or whatever. And, you know, eventually she may come around and she may do some of the things that they can, but you can't always say, oh, well, I don't have to worry about personal responsibility because my dog is fine or my cat's fine. You can't do that because every animal is different. We have to focus on the individuality of the animal, but it is more likely that there will be some type of behavior change in your animal. It may not be obvious to you as far as communication between the pet and you, but it's not always going to be obvious. So this is where the awareness key comes in. You have to be aware of how you are moving through your own world, how you are moving through your life, how you are dealing with the stressors in your day, and see if it's reacting with your animal. You know, I just want to bring in this whole individuality key. Because you may have a dog that's so stable in themselves that they're not going to be misbehaving because of your emotional state. But there might be something that might be more subtle. Like they may do something small that they never did before. Awareness, individuality, and just personal responsibility. And even if your animal isn't showing you the emotional stuff, it doesn't mean you're free to not check yourself in a sense. Because we all have to walk through personal responsibility.
Pretty much, if you are a human, you're going to have emotional struggles, mental struggles.
Yep.
Some more than others. Basically, because we don't get through this life without challenges or problems.
Exactly.
And just a little bit of a plug on that. I will be talking about challenges versus problems on a webinar, or as they call it, a zipinar, that is called letustalkit.com. Now, despite the fact that it says it's Let Us Talk IT, it actually talks about a variety of different things, from business and tech stuff to mental health to emotional well-being to personal growth. It runs the gamut. So if you are interested in that, you'd have to probably look for me either on the website at letustalkit.com or find me on LinkedIn, where the information is shared on my personal profile.
And that's Miranda Dehan on LinkedIn.
Yes.
If you don't know how to spell that, it's Dehaan. That's her last name, Miranda.
And we will post the link for that in the show notes so that you can watch the recording.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So let's move on to the mental and stress mirror.
So as we said a little bit before, the mental mirror is very much connected to the emotional mirror. They play off of each other and interact with each other. But there is a slight difference between how we are feeling and what our state of mind is. Emotions are about how you feel in the moment. They tend to be short-term, such as feeling happy, sad, scared, angry. So it's kind of like an immediate reaction to whatever you are experiencing in that moment. Your mental state, however, is connected to your thoughts, your beliefs, your ideas, your perceptions, creating long-term feelings and behaviors. So let's say you're about to cross the street and you're almost hit by a vehicle. Your immediate reaction, your adrenaline goes, you're fearful, you're maybe angry, that kind of thing. And then later on, you sort of replay it in your mind. And then you might start blaming and saying, oh, well, what a jerk that driver was. He wasn't paying attention and he could have killed me. And, you know, you've got all of these things and you might replay this over and over and over and over for days, for months, for years.
Yep.
That's your mental state. That's not your emotional state. And because these become so ingrained in us, we are not often even aware of what our mental state is until we start choosing to pay attention. If you're somebody who is experiencing what you perceive to be things constantly going wrong in your life, people constantly treating you badly, or whatever the case may be, this most likely is going to be a very, very good reason for you to look at what your beliefs are, what your ideas, what your perceptions are, because we carry things that we experienced in our childhood, beliefs that were passed on to us by parents and various authority type figures when we were younger, as well as all the ideas and that we become exposed to in our life. This forms our perceptions of what we experience. Because you can have two people experiencing the exact same event and they can have completely different perceptions of it. One could have a more positive perception. The other person can be like, oh, my life is crap. Or, these kind of things always happen to me.
Yep.
So how you interpret it is a really big indication of whether or not to look at your beliefs, ideas, your thoughts. You know, it's a lot harder to look at thoughts because thoughts can be they're so fleeting. It's like it can come and go before you're even aware that you've even had that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So beliefs and ideas and becoming aware of how you're reacting to things, those are going to be really big keys to how you're moving through life. And if you've got a pet, then you have the benefit of having your pet help you with that awareness. Now, it is possible to find moments of joy, for example, even when your predominant state of mind is one of anxiety, fear, or sadness. Because it is possible to experience a positive emotion with a negative mental state of mind, or vice versa. You could be in a positive state of mind and experience a negative emotion.
Yep, emotions are fine. It's just a matter of how we move through them. Are we reacting? Are we responding? Are we taking it on others around us? Is the energy that's coming off of us palpable? Because those are the types of situations where your animal is really going to pick up on all that stuff.
Yeah, when our pets mirror our emotional states, their behaviors can shift very quickly.
Oh, yes.
Depending on what our current emotion is. On the other hand, when animals mirror our mental states, they can end up developing chronic behaviors as a reflection of our chronic mental state. And again, the chronic mental states are usually those of stress, overwhelm, viewing the world in a negative way. On the other side of that, it could be a chronic mental state of resilience, of connection, or even optimism.
Which is kind of where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And your animal will mirror that. I have an issue because I work from home and it's normally just me and my cats. The house is pretty quiet most of the time. So if I get not mad or stressed, but even if I talk louder than normal, my cats don't like it.
Mm.
I've actually had Maisie run up to me and meow at me to tell me to shut up because I'm too loud. And Abby is the same way. I think it's because, you know how we always talk about dogs' environment is their people and a cat's environment is their home.
Right.
Well, I'm part of the home. So I'm normally quiet most of the day. Mm-hmm. And then if I, you know, I get excited about something, or, you know, doesn't even have to be mad or anything. It's just, I'm just excited. So I'm talking more. My cats do not like it. I'm uprooting their environment. They're used to me being quiet.
Yeah. I think that connects with the familiarity and not liking change all that much.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But yeah, it's definitely my mental state. I mean, really, if I get excited about something, they don't like it, because I'm typically like real chill and quiet and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it could be just as simple as that. It doesn't actually have to be a full blown emotion. It can just be all of a sudden you're talking loud for some reason. Like when I was watching the Super Bowl, I was by myself, but I had the football game on, and I was getting excited about a couple things, and she would not even come near me. She didn't like the sound of the crowds, and I was just listening to it on my iPad, and she stayed far away from me because it was too much noise. It was different because I don't typically watch sports, but it was the Super Bowl, so like I was watching sports. It's just that there's not, I mean, yeah, of course, when I got excited when the team that I won, yeah, she was like, I'm not going anywhere near you, because I was really excited. But it's just a difference in energy. Like the energy was different. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't handle it. You know, I'm sure many people out there who have people in their family that are crazy with sports, and animals will pick up on that. And it doesn't have to be happy. It doesn't have to be sad. It's just the energy.
Right.
So I think that's part of the mental state, because you're excited about something. It's not an emotion, but it's, you're excited about something, and that your animals can really pick up on that, and they'll either stay far away from you, or they'll come running up to you and tell you to shut the heck up.
Just... Well, I think you bring up a point too, in the sense of an animal's reaction to our energy or mental state is not necessarily telling us that there is something not wrong, but something that's not balanced within us.
Yeah.
It could just mean that something has maybe temporarily changed, in the terms of you're now suddenly feeling excited for a temporary period of time, and they're just not comfortable with that. It's just basically the main point, I think, of all of this is to just become aware. Mm-hmm. Just notice, okay, if your animal is suddenly behaving in a different way, you can look at yourself and say, oh, am I doing something differently? Am I physically behaving in a different way than I usually do? Am I energetically in a different place than I normally am? Has something shifted?
Yeah.
You know, and then you can do an assessment from there if one is needed.
Yep. And just know that when your animal is mirroring behaviors, they may not mirror them exactly. It may just be, I mean, it could just be a shift. They're not going to match you always completely. That's where the awareness comes in. So when you're stressed, anxious, upset, yes, your pets will often show similar behaviors, but sometimes it's not going to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. That's where you really have to pay attention. That's where the personal responsibility comes in. If your animal does something that's different and you want to figure out why, okay, what did I do that one time?
And is it 100% you all the time?
No.
Possibly not. It could be something else that's changed in the environment. It could be another person in the home that maybe is doing something different. So it's not always about you, but there's a large percentage of the time where it could be. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're feeling mentally distressed by some event that occurred, your animal may choose to become more cuddly or stay physically closer to you or just become more affectionate. When you are feeling more confident or content, hopeful, maybe more connected with others, your animal might be more likely to show behaviors of increased confidence and relaxation, as well as being more calm and composed themselves. If your mental state leads you to a lack of interaction with your pet or a lack of routine due to a feeling of low energy or a feeling of being unable to cope effectively, then you might see your animals start to become bored, restless, and show other signs of not receiving enough attention, exercise, or enrichment.
Absolutely. When I first got sick, I was sleeping a lot. Abby came up every hour on the hour to wake me up. And then when I kept staying in bed, she like literally just walked away. fine, you're going to sleep, fine, I'll just go over here. It was very interesting how she has been reacting. This is the first time she's ever seen me sick. So she got bored, seriously got bored, because all I do is sleep, you know, and do podcasts, but but she got really bored. You know, when I'm up and out and I'm trying to get things done, that's when she's showing me more attention. But the second I get back into bed, she's like, whatever, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, because she knows I'm not going to be interactive with her. She knows I'm going to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. And I want to just double back to some of the things that your animal could do in regards to your behavior. So when you're stressed or anxious or upset, there sometimes your animals obviously will become more restless because you're more restless. They'll bark. But if you have a lot of anxiety, your dogs and your cats may do other things. Like they may do stuff to themselves, like licking themselves raw or unable mm-hmm. to relax or meow a lot because they don't know how to handle this energy change. So just know that animals are not always going to mirror. Just want to double back. They're not always mm-hmm. going to mirror exactly. And you may have to put on your detective hat to figure it out. But as long as you're doing that and you're taking that personal responsibility, you will be able to, I guess, work with them and help them because you are their support system. We have to remember that we are their support system. So if we're out of sorts, that causes them to be out of sorts. And there's going to be a contrast there that, you know, it's up to you to fix. And then once you get your stuff sorted, then your animal will calm down.
And this is, again, in a general sense. But if you treat your pet with love and respect, they're going to most likely respond in a way that, you know, they want to listen to you. They want to be with you. They're not as likely to get involved in destructive behaviors or constant barking and things like that. They still could if there's maybe trauma or something that occurred in their past life. But if you treat your pet with love and respect, then you are likely a caring and responsible person in other areas of your life. And your pets are going to often reflect that. On the other hand, if you are more of a neglectful person of your pet's needs and feelings and possibly treat your pet poorly, again, this could also be a reflection of how you treat other people in your life. And your pet's behaviors and actions and even possibly their health could reflect how you're treating them. If you become distracted or preoccupied, you might notice some subtle changes in your animal's behavior, which could potentially lead to more serious challenges if it's not addressed. And this may end up showing that you have a lack of attentiveness or mental presence in your everyday life.
That's where that awareness comes in. You have to be aware on how you are moving through your life. Mm-hmm. You have to. You can't just act unconsciously. You have to pay attention to how you respond to things in your life, how do you respond to people in life, and especially how you respond to your animals. And if there is something coming from your animals that's not normal, not usual, I guess, you know, what is normal, but not usual for your animal,
right?
Then you need to pay attention. You have to have that awareness. That is the key. If you really want to help your pet, and if you really want to have a good relationship with your pet, if you really want to have this communication, this back and forth that's thriving for both of you, you have to have that awareness and you have to take personal responsibility for how you are moving through your life. You can't be the victim when you have somebody who's relying on you. You just can't.
And the thing is, too, is that most of us, when we move through our life, we're either have a tendency to be living in the past, living in the future, or trying to distract ourselves from whatever our current situation is. A lot of us don't know how to fully be in the present moment, because this, I don't know, might sound weird to some of you, but the only moment, true moment we really have is right now. The past is gone. The future doesn't exist. we only have right now.
Exactly.
So if we're not engaged in the right now, we're not actually living our life. And I know that this is a difficult thing. I'm not saying that I'm an expert at not being in the past or not being in the future. I've just become more aware, and Victoria has become more aware of catching ourselves when we notice that we are in one of those other kind of states, or when we are doing escaping kind of activities. You know, the cell phone is such, it's a great tool, but it can also be very, very problematic.
Oh, totally. Totally. All my cats have hated me on my devices. They hate it. They absolutely hate it. And Abby's been trying to get my husband off his device too. They can't stand it. And that's three cats so far, well, hated our devices. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something really important that we have to pay attention to in our own lives with our own pets. Because if you are not paying attention, if you are not in the now and you're sitting there doom scrolling or whatever you want to do on your device, you are not being present for your animal. And so right there in that moment, your animal is neglected. Even if you work really long hours and you work really, really hard, you have to take time. If you have an animal, you have to take breaks for your animal.
You chose that responsibility. So just remember, pets are not there solely for our benefit.
Yep. Yep. They're sentient beings that need companionship. Even a cat. Yes. Cats like companionship. They may not show it very well, but they like companionship. Even if they're just in the room with you and you say hi to them on occasion, sometimes that's all a cat needs. But if you do none of that, it's just not very fair to them. That being said, we'll take you a little break here, give you a moment to recoup. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the other three mirrors that we mentioned in this half, and we'll expand on them a little bit more. So stick around and we'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Miranda and I would like to thank you so much for joining us as we begin season 4 of the Animal Files podcast. This season, we have so many great topics and fantastic guests to share with you. So we would like to invite you to join us each week as we bring you the information you need to help you, your pet, and your family truly thrive. And if you want even more information, be sure to check out our website, theanimalfilespodcast.com, where we got lots of resources, and you can even connect with us on our socials. Now that that's out of the way, let's get back to the conversation. And we are back. Today, we are breaking down the different types of mirrors that we have with our animals. And we talked about the emotional mirror and the mental mirror. And now we're going to talk about the energetic mirror, the physical mirror, and the stress and stability mirror. I'm tossing it to you, Miranda. Let's break this energetic mirror down.
Well, you've probably heard us talk about the energetic aspect regarding your pets quite a bit in other episodes.
It's a big one.
Yeah, because our pets are so sensitive to energy, and they can pick up on our energetic vibrations, and our energy level can influence our pet's behavior. When we have more of a positive and a loving energy within us, there is a stronger likelihood that your pet is going to respond with increased affection, cuddling, or seeking closeness. Basically, they're going to want to be around you because they like how that energy makes them feel. When you are experiencing tension and stress, or your energy is hectic or full of kind of a negative energy, either within you or around you, then your animals might end up becoming a lot more restless, start pacing a lot, or maybe they might find a lot more hiding places or spend more time in a hiding place away from everyone.
Yeah, I think around you is a good one, because even if you start to spend time with not energetically positive people, your animals will pick up on that because you pick up on those people's energies and you bring that home with you. So within you or around you. So if you have a really bad day at work, or you have a coworker that gets under your skin every single time, and you bring that home with you, your animals are going to respond.
Mm-hmm. And if you are more physically energetic, then there's a good chance your pets are going to show that more activity and playfulness in their behaviors, even if they might be more on the couch potato side. If you do become more active and playful, then they're going to probably have more of a desire to engage in activities. But if you yourself are more of a couch potato, then you may end up having your pet show more lethargic type behaviors or just be a lot more laid back. That's also going to depend on how much you engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're someone who likes to engage in activities or practices such as meditation or yoga, you might see that your animals are showing other kinds of unusual behaviors or reactions. And I had an experience with this. I was pet sitting some cats one time, and one of the cats was very unsure of me. It had a very kind of nervous energy. A lot of the other cats were fine with me engaging with them and petting them and playing with them and things like that. But this one cat did not want to come near me. It was just very nervous and unsure for some reason. And I was doing a meditation program at that time. And I decided to go in the sitting room or the den or whatever it was. I sat on the couch and I started practicing the meditation that I was learning. And when I sort of finished the duration that I was doing, I kind of looked over and I saw that this cat had made its way closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't quite to the point of wanting to have physical engagement with me, but in my mind, it was drawn to the energy that I was, I guess, creating through the meditation practice.
That's really cool. Yeah, my Spike was I call him my booty kitty. The second I was sitting down doing my meditation, he had to be a part of it. So most of the time I ended up having to hold him in my arms while I meditated. And he tried doing that. I mean, he was a small cat, like 10 pounds, maybe. But 10 pounds for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That gets heavy. But it was like clockwork every time, because I used to do it pretty much at the same time every day. He would come in, he'd be like climbing up into my arms. All right, time to meditate. Yeah, I mean, they can feel it when you change the energetics, especially through meditation. I mean, talk about changing your energetics. They know, they can feel it.
Now, the physical mirror. Now, what we just talked about kind of incorporates some of the physical aspects of it. But the physical mirror is more involved because our pets can reflect our physical state and our health conditions. They have a remarkably intuitive sense when we are unwell. Plus, they can also show us a reflection of our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, maybe not in Victoria's case, but in some cases, some dogs and cats and maybe other pets might choose to stay close and offer comfort and companionship when you are sick or in pain. Cats, I think, are often very good with this in that they want to try to remove our pain, our discomfort.
Uh-huh.
You might even notice that, you know, if you're maybe lying in bed with a migraine, or maybe you've got some kind of back pain or something like that, and you're lying down, you might have your cat possibly lie somewhere near that area and start purring. If you're not aware, it's been shown that the purring that a cat does actually has healing properties. They can heal a broken bone.
Yeah. The hertz that a purr vibrates at can heal tissues, bone, can heal a lot of things. And that's why when you have an injured cat who maybe got hit by a car or something like that, they purr the entire time because they know it'll help them heal.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do the same for you if they sense that you need it.
Mm-hmm. You might see that they could show some concern by sniffing or touching the area of your body that is affected. They have the ability to be able to detect different changes in our body. They could tell if there's a change in our odor, in our perspiration, if there's any kind of hormonal imbalances. And this could affect their behavior towards us or just their behavior in general. You could see some animals displaying some kind of unusual behavior or attention towards specific areas of our body that could be injured or experiencing pain. And sometimes they can react in the sense of, if you're feeling unwell or fatigued, your pets might become more lethargic or restless themselves. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just ignore you like Abby is.
Yeah, you're not doing it for me. I'll be over here when you need me. But a lot of this, I mean, there are dogs that are trained for this specifically, to react to different smells and to different changes in our own biochemistry. We hear it all the time of dogs detecting cancer and cats detecting cancer and stuff like that. And then, of course, you have people with epilepsy where they will have a support dog, and that dog will know, and this might even go to the energetics as well as this physical stuff. They know when you may have a seizure, and they can get you into a safe place so you can have the seizure safely. This is a big thing with a lot of animals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The other thing I've heard that they can detect is when a person is about to faint.
Uh-huh.
And they'll try to get the person to sit down or lie down or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing what these animals can do, especially if you get them focused and you actually train them to do it. I mean, they're spot on. They can know.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can afford an animal like that, but those that have the need for that, they can probably tell you amazing stories of what their dogs and cats have done for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, like we were saying under the mental mirror section, is that if you are physically active and take your pet on regular walks, or you engage in play sessions with them, you're going to have most likely a healthier animal, a more energetic animal, and maybe even a more outgoing animal. If your life is more sedentary, which is probably 95% of the population.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of us work really hard, and it's just when we get home from work,
computer based.
It's just tiring.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, you may end up with a pet that becomes more lethargic or overweight. So you might end up having your animals sleeping more, perhaps showing less interest in things. Maybe they might start developing muscle or joint issues. They could possibly become destructive or aggressive. Or maybe they might just generally get themselves into trouble to find their own ways to release their pent-up energy. Because unfortunately, when pets don't receive enough activity or mental physical stimulation as a result of our own lifestyle or energetic state or physical state or whatever, then our animals can show signs of depression, they might become more withdrawn, and they might become more reluctant to engage with you and your family. So our last mirror is the stability mirror that we're going to talk about. As we've already mentioned before, in this and previous episodes, pets thrive on routine and consistency in their schedules and environment. And they're also very observant.
Very.
As well as perceptive of our daily routines and habits. So even if you are trying to establish a new routine or habit for yourself, your pets may end up acting differently as a result of that because they're like unsure of what's going on. You are part of your animal's environment, and their behaviors can reflect if your behaviors and habits follow any kind of routine or structure. If you maintain a structured daily schedule, and when I say structured, I'm not saying rigid, like, oh, you have to do this by this time, and this by this time, and this by this time, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have some sort of routine that you follow, then you are likely going to see your pets be more at ease and content. If, however, you never develop any type of routine or consistency and you're just doing everything kind of on a whim or, you know, without any kind of plan or anything, or maybe you deviate from it for some reason, you might notice that your animals suddenly become more anxious or restless.
Animals thrive on consistency.
Mm-hmm. So when your pets have a routine they can rely on, you're going to end up noticing behaviors such as waiting by the door for their walk, or maybe going into the kitchen when they know it's mealtime. If you're constantly feeding them at different times or their walk time is sometimes at 10 in the morning, sometimes at 5 o'clock at night, sometimes at noon, you know, and there's no reliable pattern. They never know what to rely on. Everything's sort of always up in the air.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, like I'm sick right now and it's different. Everything is different. And that is making Abby a little uncomfortable. I'm not normally a sick person. So I'm not doing the things that I normally do. I'm not keeping her litter box as clean as I used to. Still scooping it every day, but I would scoop it like 2-3 times a day. Now it's like once a day. Everything is a little bit different. So it's making her a little uneasy because the routine is different. Now I make a point to not be so rigid with my cats because cats can get a little bossy when it comes to food time and whatever. So a lot of times, because I don't typically have cats that are food motivated, I feed them when they're hungry. So their time schedule can be very different. We have very flowy like that, but the actual, just the day-to-day stuff, that routine has been kind of knocked on its head. And she is having a really hard time figuring out how to move through this different change. The stability is gone. And even though she's not reacting or misbehaving in a way that needs to be addressed, still, I notice that because my schedule is all up in the air and everything is different, it's affecting her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to still keep some things normal as best I can. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, stability and predictability of your actions in your own home with your animal is very important, because any deviation, they're going to notice.
Yeah. It's not only a benefit for them, but when we have stability and predictability in our own life, to some extent, it's going to help contribute to us having a sense of purpose and a mental well-being.
Absolutely.
And when we've got a sense of purpose and a healthier mental well-being, we're going to have happier animals. So another thing that we need to consider is that when we choose to blame others, now this is kind of going back to mental state to some extent, but when we choose to blame others, including our pets, for how we feel or our experiences, we are actually giving all of our power away. We're saying we have no control over our lives. We have no control over our experiences. We have no control over our emotions. We have no control over anything that is outside of ourselves. We're saying those things have all the control.
It's not always the case.
Most of the time, it's not the case.
I know. I mean, well, things like, you know, weather. We just had a major storm here. So like, you can't really control that. But the majority of the stuff that need to be acknowledged are the things that you can control.
Right.
Within yourself and within your immediate environment. Mm-hmm. And that goes a long way to helping your animals.
Yeah. And if it's something that we don't have control over, like there's a blizzard and we can't get somewhere, or we can't get our technology to work to do what we need, which could still play into our energy, but not, not always. I mean, sometimes it could be external energy as well. But these kinds of things, I know how hard it can be sometimes to not feel frustration and be like, oh, but I need to do this and I need to go there and I need to have this meeting. And I, you know, and we get all agitated because now we can't do what we had intended to do. Mm-hmm. What we need to practice in those situations is reminding ourselves it is what it is. And what that means is this is what it is. Like there is no other option. This is what it is. So we can either accept it or we can resist it. But if we resist it, then we're going to just experience anger, stress, overwhelm, and all of those different kinds of emotions. If we accept it, then we can kind of start stepping back and being like, okay, well, I can't do anything about it right in this moment, but what are my options? Like, okay, so maybe you can't get on the computer, but perhaps your phone works. It's like, okay, is there maybe something I can do on my phone in the meantime? Or is there stuff that I could do on paper in the meantime? Maybe you might have to reschedule a meeting or something like that. you know, there's different ways that we can respond to these situations.
Yep. And if it's not a priority, take time with your pet.
There's that too.
Take it as a sign from the universe. You need to spend more time with your pet. If it's not a priority, if it's not going to be the thing that ends it all, just take a moment and just hang out with your animal. You know, you'll probably feel much better. And so will your animal.
Mm-hmm. And whether it's something that is in our control or out of our control, whatever we're experiencing, we always have the opportunity to look at it and see, okay, what are my options?
Mm-hmm.
And become aware, is that, could this have occurred because of my energetic state or because of how I might have behaved in the past? And again, this is not about blame. It's just becoming aware. And then from there, you can start to make some different choices. I'm sure now, as you've probably been able to tell, pets are highly, highly attuned to their owner's emotional and physical and mental states and all of that. And they express this sensitivity through their behavior, as well as vocalizations and sometimes health issues.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to understand this reflective relationship, it can really help you to become much more attuned to your own emotions, your own mental state, your habits, your behaviors, through observing and interpreting your pet's behaviors and responses. And then this ends up giving you the opportunity to make changes and adjustments. We do have to, however, keep in mind that some of the behaviors our pets are going to exhibit are also going to be part of their personality and natural instinct.
Yep, that's where that individuality comes in.
So remember, the key is to watch for the changes.
Yes, that's the most important thing, is those subtle shifts, the things that are just maybe not 100% normal, or the big ones that are like, wait a minute, they've never done that before. Those are the times when you, again, have to put on that detective hat and you have to figure out, okay, you know, first of all, you want to make sure that, okay, did something happen in the environment? Because we've got to remember, animals are very connected to their environment. So if something in their environment changes and they act differently, that's one thing. Then you have to, okay, what did I do? What happened? You have to find patterns. And I think that's another key thing, is when you're trying to analyze the changes in your animal because of something which you don't know, you haven't put the detective hat on, you haven't known. Obviously, there's going to be some things that are going to be very clear. You have a really bad day, you have a big fight, and your animal's going to be acting differently. You kind of know right off the bat that's why they're acting differently, is because you just had a big fight. That's obvious. But some of the lesser obvious, like depression, anxiety, stuff like that, those may not be as obvious within your pet's behaviors. But once you can figure that out, I mean, I don't know, the more awareness you have, again, awareness, 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 awareness. We keep saying it all the time, but it is probably your biggest tool and your best tool in helping your animal to thrive, which is our whole goal here at the Animal Files. We're here to help you help your animal thrive. And awareness is part of that. And when you understand that your animal can be a mirror to the things that you're going through, and you're aware of that, you can make the changes necessary. And not only does your animal thrive, but you thrive too. And that's the big takeaway from these last two podcasts we had. We don't just want your animal to thrive. We want you to thrive too. And we want you and your animal to thrive together. And you can't do that if you're walking around unconsciously. So understanding that your pet is a mirror to you, and maybe reflecting some of the things that you're putting off, that's going to change things in a big way for a lot of people.
And some of the challenges that we might be facing within ourselves might be really challenging to deal with on our own. Sometimes it might require some professional help. Not necessarily like a psychologist or something, but there's a lot of holistic people who can support you in in working through stuff and in becoming more aware of what might be going on. I think for myself, I probably experienced anxiety from childhood to mid-30s without ever being aware that I was experiencing that energy.
It's rough.
It just was a normal way of being for me. Not a good way of being, but a normal way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's group things, there's individual things that you can get involved in that can help you with that awareness and help you to make any shifts that you are willing to make.
Yeah. And if you put your detective hat on and you're still having a hard time figuring things out, there's always the animal behaviorists and animal communicators that can help you out. And on our website, we have resources of various animal communicators and behaviorists on our resources page. Please feel free. We've interviewed some really great, amazing people, and they'd be very happy to help you and your animal if you really need that. So that's the animalfilespodcast.com. And if you have any other questions, you can reach out to us via our email, theanimalfilespodcast@gmail.com. And we will do everything we can to help you answer those questions and help you with your detective work. And with that, I think we gave you a lot to think about. So we're just going to leave it here. And if you want to go back and listen to last week's podcast to kind of get the full picture of what we mean by this whole reflective relationship that you will have with your animal, go on back there. We do have things in the show notes for you. And we will see you next time here on the Animal Files podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to rate, review, and recommend the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want some more great info, be sure to check out www.theanimalfilespodcast.com.